The Robo Cup is a competition which involves robots competing against robots in the game of football. Now, I think these robots are autonomous, so they are not controlled by humans, but they're still programmed by humans. And I was talking about this before and wondering if New Zealand had an entry. Well, it most certainly did. And one of the people behind that was Bannon Hopman, who's studying product design at Canterbury University. He's on the line from somewhere in either in Sydney, where it's been held, the Robo Cup, or maybe back in Christchurch, or maybe somewhere else. Kia ora, Bannon.
Kia ora, Brian. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Are you still in Sydney?
No. We got back midnight yesterday.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Tired. It's been a great week.
Okay. So your entry was called Electric Sheep.
Yes, we were.
And tell me a bit about the competition. No, sorry. for talking over you. But how, for a start, how many robots aside?
Well, depends on how many robots the company team actually makes. But we had one robot working. Most teams probably had about four.
That puts you at a bit of a disadvantage, doesn't it? Four against one?
Yes, just a bit.
So you qualify for the Humanoid League category. Can you tell me about that?
We're in the kid size, which is robots that are based off humans. They have to have all the dimensions of humans and use humanoid sensors to actually see and play football.
Right. How did you go then if you had one operating robot and other teams had more than one?
We went okay. We had a lot of problems at the start, but we managed to get to round two. The key thing is that the competition is innovative and very pushing the boundaries. So a lot of teams only had one robot too, and some teams didn't even actually manage to stand up.
What was the field like? It wasn't a full soccer field, wasn't it?
No. The field was probably 3 metres by 2 metres.
So quite small, very miniature football. Yeah. We're not talking about the World Cup.
Yeah, so the robots are about knee height.
But even if they are knee height, that's still not a very big field for a robot.
No,
2 by 3 metres.
Well, 2 metres and 2 metres and 3 metres is one side, and the other side is another 2 metres by 3 metres, so it's 9 metres in total.
Actually, having four robots might become a disadvantage because there wouldn't be room for them all. They keep on colliding with each other.
No, well, the human adult size has a bigger field, actually.
What was the largest field? What were the adult-sized robots playing on?
I'm not quite sure about the adult size field.
So say if you compared it with a tennis court, would it be that big?
No, nothing. Probably third, maybe half the size of a tennis court.
Okay, so it might be a sort of volleyball size court then.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. You have to program Electric Sheep. Once the game starts, I'm assuming you can't control it anymore?
No, it's got to be completely autonomous. They've got to make their own decisions and see the ball and kick the ball towards the goal.
This is really a challenge to see whether you can create some kind of useful artificial intelligence then, isn't it?
Yes, very much.
What then are some of the things that you would have to incorporate? What do you need to incorporate into an autonomous robot to play football?
So the first step is actually seeing the ball, which is RGB sensors, which is red, green, blue sensor, a coloured screen, basically. And you use machine learning to actually use bounding boxes, and they can pick up on the pixels that the camera sees. And they then learn what a ball is and what a goalpost is and et cetera. Then we use localization to actually use Wi-Fi to know where the robots are in the field and communicate with the other robots and the referee to actually keep the ball in the right direction and actually know which goal to kick towards. You don't score an own goal.
In the case of electric sheep, there wasn't any communication with other robots required if it was playing alone?
No, it was just playing alone at the moment. Our software was pretty good, but we kind of got let down in the hardware, which is kind of the sad part. We completely 3D printed it, and some of the motors didn't actually have enough power to get up and actually walk.
You mean electric sheep fell over a bit?
Yeah. Yes, just a tiny bit. But
was electric sheep a four-legged robot or a bipedal?
No, it's a bipedal. It's I guess it looks like a human. I guess in a basic term, so it's got two legs, two arms, head. One of the rules of the competition was it had to have the same ratio as a human. So it would have all the joints in the right direction, and the legs and the arms have to be the right ratio. The head must be, on top.
Were there any robots that came with the head in the wrong place? I'm wondering if that might be an advantage.
Well, there were other legs that don't do humanoid, that do have their heads and cameras lower down. But no, it probably is probably an advantage to have it lower down.
In the section you were competing in, are the rules the same? In other words, no hands?
Yes. They've incorporated the FIFA rules plus a few extra rules for the robot. So it is absolutely completely FIFA rules. And also, if the robot does get incapacitated or it can't actually move, the rule is that a handler can come pick it up and take it off the field.
Did you have to do that with electric sheep?
Nah, only once.
Only once?
Crashed together.
Right.
Head fell off.
Oh, its head fell off?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it is funny. Were you finding this funny at the time, or extremely embarrassing or disappointing?
Oh, it is funny as ever. Most robots, when the robots actually collide together, there's some videos on our social media of robots just walking together and they just collide with the ball and just fall over. It's really funny to watch.
Did electric sheep actually manage some quite good moves? Did it score a goal?
No, it didn't score a goal. We aren't quite at that level yet. We only started this year, but next year, the year after, we've got a lot of improvements to make.
Did you concede any goals?
No.
Well, that's good. Is that because actually this is to actually create an autonomous robot? Rather than a machine that's simply being controlled remotely by a human, this is at the forefront of AI, as I said before. Were there many robots that could do the business?
Yes, there's a lot of robots that could do the business. This is, and again, as you said, this is pushing the limit of robot intelligence and robotics. There was robots that actually managed to pick up the ball and throw them from the side, which is very impressive.
But that's handball.
Yeah, well, if the ball goes out, you can throw it in.
Right.
Like FIFA.
What was the dirtiest robot?
Oh, dirtiest robot.
As in, sort of the Vinnie Jones, kind of all those professional fouls kind of robot.
The robots aren't that advanced enough to start cheating and playing dirty.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there no robot doing a Klinsmann dive?
No. The robots are about $20,000 each, so you want to fall down as least amount as possible. And any diving is a risk.
Because they might not get up again.
Exactly.
How many were on your team? It wasn't just you, was it, Bannon?
No. So we had five in our team. We've got Dan, Hamian, Merrill, and Nair. So we've got three PhD students doing working with the HIT lab. Dan's reading computer science, and Merrill's doing bullying, with robots, which is very interesting.
Hang on. Sorry, Ben, I've got to stop you there. Bullying with robots. What, robots bullying other robots or bullying humans?
Humans bullying robots, actually.
Really?
And seeing the psychological effect and wondering, what is bullying robots? But I'm not the person to talk about this.
No. But I just want to ask another question about that, because this is sounding like another night's interview altogether. But us as humans bullying robots, that suggests that robots are capable of having feelings that actually can be bullied. I mean, can I bully a glass? I can break a glass, but the glass isn't going to be upset by being broken, is it?
Again, not my topic, but I don't think it's focused about that. It's about how humans perceive the robot. So you can get a personal attachment to an object, and you could feel like you could be bullying that, or you could have feel, you know, attacked if someone bullies your object.
Ah.
So it's really focused on the human side of it, not really...
The human side of the relationship with the machine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Getting back to your machine, Electric Sheep, you say the hardware let you down because the 3D printer wasn't working properly?
The 3D printer was fine. I 3D printed it. Of course it's fine. but our motors let us down. We did do it on quite a small budget, and a lot of smoke came off. They got about 80 degrees, and they were running at 16 amps. And they should be running at 12.
Electric Sheep, what?
The limits of it.
Did you say Electric Sheep started to smoke?
Yes, it did.
On the pitch?
Smoke on the pitch, smoke off the pitch. There was a lot of smoking. Got a bad habit.
This is a smoke-free competition, I'm sure.
Now, there was a lot of smoking at the competition, a lot of robots breaking down. It was... We had about a lot of, every team had about two tables. It was covered in hardware, and they would just, something could break and they would run back, and they would solder a bit more, then come back again and fix another piece. A lot of teams had taken off the legs and reattached them again. We actually managed to change the kinematic structure of our robot halfway through the competition.
That sounds extremely advanced. The kinematic, so what, its skeletal structure, in other words?
Oh, no, it's just its motion, so how it actually moves, so where motors are placed. For example, we replaced its arms with another robot's legs. So it basically had four legs.
That's
so
all right, though.
Together.
But wouldn't that disqualify you? Because you said it's got to be like a human. It's got to have a head at the top. That was important, plus legs, plus arms. Mm. Wouldn't having four legs disqualify you? Even if two of those legs aren't touching the ground.
No, it didn't, because we actually changed it. So there were arms. We put a bit of duct tape on them and made actual support so they could actually push up from itself.
Did I hear you right? You said you put some duct tape on it.
Our robot has held together with duct tape and zip ties.
I mean, this is a bit of a meat of a number eight wire kind of stereotypical New Zealand approach to engineering meets high tech. Oh,
it is very number eight. There were so many problems that we could face with. We had the gyro. We lost one of the axles in the gyro, and so it fell down. So we had to do some number eight wiring up and try and use a gyro with only two axes.
How about the software, the actual stuff that enables the robot to perceive and then respond? How did that go?
Well, that was flawless. We didn't get to implement it, but all the tests we ran, it's flawless. We can see the ball from across the field, which most teams can't, and we can pick up the ball in light, with artificial light, pretty accurately. We actually tested it out with... actual physical soccer balls and got a picture, and it managed to pick it up completely fine.
How do you know the robot's seeing it all right? Were you seeing what the robot was seeing through a telescreen?
So you hook it up to a monitor, because it's all run through the Raspberry Pi. And so you can just plug in the monitor or Raspberry Pi and have a look at, see what the robot's seeing.
Raspberry Pi?
Yeah.
Is that an app?
It's a little motherboard that you can program stuff onto. It's like basically a computer. Yeah, a tiny computer.
Raspberry Pi is not Cockney rhyming slang for I for robot.
No, it's not.
It's not? Okay. See, no. My mind's getting stretched here, so I overstretched that one. In terms of its cognitive ability then, are you saying that if you had a better body, your electric sheep might be in the running to win this sort of thing next year?
Well, will be in the running. That's what we're hoping. Yes, that's our main goal, is to win the competition, because we're going to France next year, and the French team won it. So if we can beat the French in their own ground, that'd be amazing.
What was the best football, the best robots, what was the standard like?
They managed to pick up the ball and throw it in, which was amazing. And they could actually, see the ball, run after it, kick it, and communicate with each other. It's not quite like human soccer. So you can't actually, they can't do complicated moves, and they can't do dribbling, but they can see a goalpost and kick it.
How slow are these machines compared to humans?
Probably walking speed.
Yeah.
Is their fastest. Yeah. They're not that advanced. But you get some other leagues, the mid-size and the small-size leagues, they can move at some pace.
What about the ability to learn strategy during a game, the ability for a robot to learn from the experience of one game and put it into practice in the next one?
That is very an opposite. It does happen. It's not really our league. It's more simulation and standing platform. They more mainly focus on strategy. The mid-size, they actually can pass to each other and do quite a complex stuff, and they can get it up in the air.
Were there any robots doing headers, or was that too dangerous for the robot? The head might come off.
In our league, there was no headers, sadly. Other leagues, no, not really any headers either, because they're not really designed like humans in the other leagues.
Knights and RNZ National, I'm speaking to Bannon Hopman. He's a member of the team from Canterbury University that entered Electric Sheep into the Robo Cup Australia. It's just been held in Sydney. It's a competition, a football competition for robots, and we mean robots. They're not controlled by humans. They are autonomous machines, and they work as well or as badly as autonomous machines do playing football these days. No cheats, I hope. You didn't catch anybody actually controlling these robots from radio controllers around the corner.
No, there was very much restrictions. They completely shut down any Wi-Fi devices you can't actually use. You have to actually use an Ethernet to plug in.
Ethernet? That's 20th century.
Yeah, so just an internet cable.
What's your plan for next year? Are you going to have more than one electric sheep on your team next year?
Yes, that is the plan. Well, we had three, but we had to kind of dissect the other two to make the first one working. But we're hopefully going to have four.
So really, you were hoping to have three in Sydney, but only one made it across the Tasman intact.
Yes, they did.
You had the other two for spares.
Yeah, well, some of our 3D prints broke, and we had to transplant them two thighs.
It does sound like the 3D printing is going to be the challenge, really. Getting a better 3D printer for next year?
Well, no, we're looking into the material of it, so we're going to try and 3D print carbon fibre as a choice we're going to make.
Now, this is all sounding like a lot of fun, and you've told me already, Bannon, that you laughed a lot during the competition, but what practical applications has all this got for us and the machines that we make?
Oh, loads. Well, one of the leagues is a rescue league, and so what their challenge is they have to they build a course, and their robots have never seen the course before, and they have to navigate and do a whole bunch of tasks. So if an earthquake happened, you know, you could send a robot in, and it could clear away or rescue people and that sort of stuff. Also, just mind-boggling manual tasks that just take time and just repeat over and over again. You can, like, plant trees, for example, is one of the examples we used. That, you know, just a robot literally just walks along and plants trees 24/7.
When people, some doomsday people, think that robots are going to completely recreate, replace a lot of human jobs, when you look at robots attempting to play football on the field in 2019, how far off do you think that is?
It's close. I mean, you can say it's kind of already happened. For example, you've got cars that are taking over driving mostly. I don't know if you know, but ABS and power steering have kind of taken over control of the car. So you're not really driving the car. You do the directions and the computer does the rest.
What's the timetable for next year? When's the Robo Cup in France?
Same time again next year. So we've got July, mid-July sort of time.
Well, good luck. Year. Good luck, Bannon, and I hope you manage to get more than one electric sheep on the field next year. And thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Cheers.
Bannon Hopman, undergraduate studying product design at Canterbury University, one of the team that produced electric sheep. Well, they actually produced three electric sheep for the RoboCup football, robotic football competition in Sydney, which has just taken place across the Tasman. Alas, the other two had to be cannibalized for the parts.